tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict, prosperity in Europe, and the challenge of the People's Republic of China. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, because he puts all three of these items plus together to ask questions about the Chancellor of Germany's trip to Beijing now some days afterwards and what was accomplished, especially in light of the present G20 meeting in Bali, Indonesia, where there is a demonstration of accommodation between the U.S., its allies, and China. So, did Mr. Scholz get ahead of the story of why can't we all get along? Or is he still rubbing the establishment in Berlin the wrong way because he's trading with the enemy? Joe, a very good evening to you. Your column published before G20 and after Olaf Scholz made clear that he was traveling somewhat of a supplicant to Beijing to speak with Xi Jinping and then to take along with him a panel of burgers, major industrialists is what they used to be called, to look for business in China. This was controversial then. Does it remain so? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. Yes, I mean, what's been really interesting about this whole China issue in the West in recent weeks is how controversial it's become. And so we have had the two big events that you just pointed to. The first was Olaf Scholz's visit about a week and a half ago now. And then the next event was President Joe Biden's meeting with Xi Jinping in Bali at the G20 within the past day or two. And what's interesting here is that in both instances, you have this attempt at the very top level of politics on the part of the politician who's nominally running their country to try to execute some kind of rapprochement or, meeting with Xi Jinping to try to salvage some kind of working relationship there. And yet that effort ends up revealing a lot of tension or controversy about that China relationship within the rest of that Western leader's political system. So in Germany, the controversy about China and Germany's relationship with China has not died down at all since Olaf Scholz's visit. If anything, it has become more so. I think that that trip seems to have really galvanized what had already been a growing debate on these issues within Germany and ended up kind of emboldening a lot of Olaf Scholz's critics on this who would prefer a much more hawkish line. And sure enough, you're starting to see something similar developing in Washington, where, Biden and his advisors probably hoped that this meeting with Xi Jinping would be an opportunity to reset a little bit, to perhaps dial down the temperature a little bit. And instead, it is setting off a certain amount of controversy in Washington that might lead to more hawkishness in that relationship over the medium term.
I'm struck by the very specific presentation in your column about who was with the chancellor to China. You say that there were industrialists, including BASF and the car companies, looking for business in China. Is this meant to be an offset for the troubles in Europe? Is it meant to look to the future? What is their general explanation about why they must travel to a country that is suspect of having an economy that is very brittle?
Well, this is a key part of the China dilemma that's emerging in the West, which is that it is easier to execute a strategy of economic or commercial independence from China if your own home market is much healthier. That is very much not the case in Europe right now. So one of the reasons that German and other European companies continue to be keen to invest in China to develop that market is because it's the one market that they think might still be growing for them. Whereas the situation in Europe is one of energy costs that are spiraling out of control, which is making it more expensive to manufacture here, while those costs are also suppressing consumer demand for these products. And then the chronic complaint is Europe's regulatory environment, which also makes it increasingly difficult to run profitable businesses here. So, you know, that creates a dilemma for political leaders who have to accommodate the fact that, you know, if you want to have any kind of economic growth, your businesses are telling you that they need to continue doing business in China for as long as that remains legal for them. And the companies are not blind to the risk. They are aware that if Xi Jinping does, say, invade Taiwan, you're likely to see Western sanctions that would require them to unwind a lot of these investments. They are taking steps to try to protect themselves. One thing that you increasingly hear from companies is China for China, Europe for Europe, U.S. for U.S., which means invest in locating in China the productive capacity to serve the Chinese market. But do not necessarily invest in China with a view that you will be lengthening a supply chain for Europe. You know, prepare for the possibility that it might get cut off, but recognize that for as long as you legally can, your shareholders probably do expect you to be doing business there.
Because I've been reading about the 1930s, Joe, I have these specific examples in mind to see if it's analogous to what you write about with BASF. Before the Second War, there was an attempt for London and Berlin to find common ground, despite the dictator. And the very prominent chemical firm ICI, the automobile firm Morris Motors, and especially Unilever, the food giant, Dutch and English, developed contacts in Berlin and were interested in investment and building out their relationship. That brought them a lot of castigation after the collapse of peace on the continent, and then the war, and then afterwards, it was a pall over them for many years before. I mean, they were major contributors to the war success in Britain, but there was always these questions about them trading with the enemy. Is that mentioned in the German media that you're vulnerable here, not only losing an investment, but losing a reputation?
My sense is that the discussion of these issues is slightly different. And I mean, you have to understand that businesses, you know, for as long as that kind of trading and investment relationship is legal, actually arguably have an obligation to their shareholders to do profitable things. So I think that the conversation in Germany, my sense is that it's coming to be much more about the risk management perspective of this. So there is a lot of pressure on companies for investing in a country where the Communist Party regime has such a terrible record on human rights in Xinjiang with the oppression of the Uyghurs in Tibet and Hong Kong, you know, it's potentially threatening to invade Taiwan. So there is some criticism of German companies for these investments on human rights grounds. But there's also this question that is emerging, which I think is the right question, which is, what are we going to do? You know, are shareholders' interests best served by making these investments that are imperiled by the potential that there could be a war across the Taiwan Strait? And that is a really serious question that I think that a lot of corporate boards need to be asking themselves right now. There is some evidence that they are thinking about that. But I think that you have to understand that part of the problem is that as long as the government continues to make it legal for the companies to operate there, you know, this is a risk management issue, and you can't necessarily expect companies to do the work that government should be doing. So this ultimately is a diplomatic and strategic question for the government to sort out. And then we need to be expecting that companies are going to follow that lead.
The suspicion before Scholz's visit was that this was a version of Ostpolitik, just further Ost, further East. Now, after he's returned, is that still a criticism in the public that you see? You have the German, Joe. I only read the English press on this.
Well, I think that there is a lot of criticism about Chancellor Scholz's China strategy seen through the lens of the failure of Germany's Russia strategy. So a lot of people are saying that we tried the German expression is Wandel durch Handel, change through trade. We tried that strategy, hoping that trading with Vladimir Putin's Russia would transform it into a democracy. It failed. Why are we pursuing the same strategy with China? And that is very much the conversation that is going on there. I think part of the problem, and this circles back to the problem with Joe Biden's meeting with Xi Jinping, is that there still seems to be a sense in the West that somehow you can turn Xi Jinping into a viable broker on other problems. So you'll notice that President Biden wanted to talk to Xi about how Xi could apply pressure on Vladimir Putin not to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine, or how Xi could apply pressure on the Kim regime in North Korea to try to tone down Pyongyang's nuclear saber rattling. I think the problem is that as long as the West is cherishing this illusion that you can somehow work with China as a partner to solve these other problems, until we realize that that is not the case, there is going to be a tendency to spin our wheels on this relationship.
There's a new government in London where Joe Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, and he writes political economics. We're going to turn to what we believe to be momentary waiting on the mini budget to be delivered by Mr. Sunak and Mr. Hunt, and what this means, taxes. I'm John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Hey, it's me, your heart. Mind if I pick the next song? Listen, even though we're eating better, people who've had one heart attack are at higher risk of another. But Repatha Evolocumab plus a statin lowers LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, and our heart attack risk. So let's talk to our doctor about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. View the important safety information in our banner. Listen to your heart. Ask your doctor about Repatha.
Ah, greetings from my bath, festive friends. The holidays are overwhelming, but I'm tackling this season with PayPal and making the most of my money. Getting 5% cash back when I pay in four. No fees, no interest. I used it to get this portable spa with jets. Now the bubbles can cling to my sculpted but pruny body. Make the most of your money this holiday with PayPal. Save the offer in the app.
Ends 12/31. See paypal.com/promo terms. Points can be redeemed for cash and more. Pay in four, subject to terms and approval. PayPal Inc. and MLS 910457.